Spark. Yes, Spark, that's what we're talking about today. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. This is Tuesday Teaching Tip number 406. It's part 11 of the current series, Your Voice Matters. Tips for new and inexperienced speakers. And today is the third of an investigation of a tip that Anna Oliver sent in about connecting with our audience. We need to connect. We need to know who our audience is and figure out how that shapes the way in which we present our whatever God has given us from the text to present and the content of it. The previous two videos talk more about that. Today we're talking about spark. We're talking about connecting. We're talking about connecting in a way that begins at the beginning of the lesson, a spark of connection that helps us then with the attention of the people we're speaking to. Let's be honest. People don't listen just because we're talking. They're willing to listen or they wouldn't be there, but they won't automatically happen. You and I have a responsibility to help them to pay attention, to kind of capture their attention from the start, preferably. You think about Jesus. The greatest teacher of all time, he knew exactly how to connect with his audience. So today, we're talking about the power of a spark, a way to engage people right from the beginning so that they actually want to listen. Now remember, in the previous episodes, we talked about considering our audience. Now, think about those people. Maybe think about the next group you're going to be speaking to. Just think about them for a moment and ask yourself this question. What can you say to them at the beginning of your talk that will create curiosity, that will spark curiosity, that will make them sit up and think, ooh, that's interesting. I'm glad this person's here to speak today because I am interested in that. That sounds fascinating. I am going to pay attention today. Of course, that won't be exactly what they're thinking in their head, but it'll be subconsciously going on. Yes, I'm going to listen. So how can we do that? Well, first a warning, which is this, which is to beware irrelevance. I remember visiting a visiting American preacher. Nothing against my American cousins. It's just a good example, okay? I remember a visiting American preacher coming to the UK in the 1980s. He opened his talk with an anecdote about an American football player's cleats. Now, there were several problems with this. Firstly, Almost no one in the UK understood American football in those days. May have changed now, but in those days, it was like something from Mars. Secondly, we don't use the word cleats. People who play field sports play in boots. So that was confusing when he was talking about cleats. What is he talking about? Cleats? What are they? So he'd lost us. Thirdly, nobody had heard of the sportsman he was talking about. Roger Staubach, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for reference. Yes, I do know who he is now, but I didn't then, and neither did anybody else. So three problems. And so, of course, he lost us. He thought he was engaging us, but indeed he did the opposite. He alienated us. Now, I should be merciful here. At that time, back in the early 80s, very few people traveled internationally to preach. So the idea of thinking about the things we're talking about today was not as common. I'm also cognizant that when I have gone abroad to speak in other cultures, I have more than once trodden on toes. I remember a terrible time in America where I said something that actually was quite insulting. I feel bad about that. I've trodden on toes or I've shared something that bewildered my audience because it just didn't connect and land. So I know I've done the same thing. I'm not pointing a finger at that poor chap. But this irrelevance is something we have to be aware of. Irrelevant stories, irrelevant facts, irrelevant quotes, no matter how powerful they are, or we feel they are, or no matter how funny we find them, they won't help if they're irrelevant. They'll just alienate the audience. So that's the first thing to bear in mind. Second thing, a more positive thing, connect with their world. Connect with their world, the audience's world. Jesus, think about him. Jesus didn't just teach abstract theology. Some of his stuff was very deep, but it wasn't abstract. He used sheep. He used farming. He used lost coins and family conflicts, things his audience cared about, as examples in his teaching. And he was aware of current events and used them as a means of expressing his teaching. Look at Luke 13, verses 1 to 5. When Jesus spoke to a group that were already discussing Pilate's behavior, he had an attentive audience when he started talking about him. When he moved on to talk about a recent well-known disaster, the Tower of Siloam, everybody connected with his message because they knew what he was talking about. So, and these were things that people were concerned about at the time. So Make a connection in that way by knowing what's going on in the world around your audience and in your audience. Starting with a spark. Let's now talk about the practicalities of starting with a spark. What does that actually look like? Firstly, keep it short. A spark is a spark. It's there and it's gone, right? But you've noticed it. Same thing with your opening. When you're opening a talk and you're trying to connect with people, keep it short. A spark should grab attention quickly. If you take too long, you'll have lost them and you'll have lost the moment, and that isn't a spark anymore. So keep it short. What are we talking about? We're talking about something probably between 5 seconds and a minute, maybe in there. If it's a story, it's going to be more like a minute. If it's an anecdote, maybe 30 seconds. If it's a phrase, then maybe that's only 5-10 seconds, but you want to keep it short. Secondly, make it relevant. If your audience can't relate, they won't care. Thirdly, connect it, this spark, to your main point. A great spark is only useful if it leads into what you're actually talking about. So you start with your spark, and then you go into your main point, and people see how the connection exists, and they will continue to pay example. For example, if you're teaching on faith during hard times, you could start with something like a personal story about a moment of doubt. Again, not a 10-minute story, not an epic, a 1-minute story. A personal story about a moment of doubt you could start with. Secondly, you could start with a question. Have you ever felt like God was silent? And pause with some silence. That could be a spark. Or thirdly, a surprising fact. Like, did you know that even Mother Teresa wrote about struggling with doubt? That might bewilder your audience. It might surprise your audience. And then they may be like, well, really? Did she? I mean, you have to pick the person that you think will be relevant for your audience. But that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Each of those will lead directly into the lesson about doubt or fear of where is God when and things seem to be silent or rough or whatever's going on in life that is difficult when you're doing a lesson on faith during hard times. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Let me ask you some questions to sort of wrap up here. Think about your next opportunity to speak, whether it's a sermon, a small group, or just a conversation about faith with someone that you're preparing for. What's one way you can spark your audience to create that connection? Try starting with a question or a story or a surprising fact and see how people respond. Note how people respond and learn from it. Sometimes I've tried sparks that were damp squibs. I might as well have dropped a bucket of cold water on it, everybody. Other times they've really connected. You learn as you go by trying these things. Let me know how you get on. Leave a comment where we can all see it, because we learn best when we're learning in community. Please do consider joining me and others at AIM UK in Ireland. Our current module is New Testament Survey. The link is on the screen and in the show notes. If you've got a question about the Bible, drop me an email. If you'd like a copy of my free book on spiritual disciplines called How God Grows His People, then sign up for my newsletter at the website, malcolmcox.org. And if you can think of anybody that might benefit from this, please do pass the link on. And remember, at all times, to keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care and God bless.